Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2. I want to ask you this morning, it's always awesome how the Lord just orchestrates things, but how many of you have ever been discouraged in your life? Amen. I would say it's safe to say that everyone here today has experienced some discouragement at some time in their life. Discouragement is universal. There seems to be a lot of people who are discouraged about numerous things in their lives, in the country at the present time. None of us are immune to discouragement. Everyone you have ever known has been discouraged at one time or another. Some of you have been discouraged in your search for a job. Some have been discouraged in their current job. Some have experienced it in their marriage relationship. Some of you have been discouraged in your relationship with your children or your parents. Maybe there are those who have been discouraged by a struggle with the behavior that you've battled to control and overcome. Merriam-Webster describes discouraged as to deprive of courage or confidence, to dishearten. You can be discouraged by repeated failure, to hinder by disfavoring, to dissuade or attempt to dissuade from doing something. You know, there's some things about discouragement that never change. It's reoccurring. Being discouraged once does not give you immunity to the disease. You can be discouraged several times in your life. In fact, you can be discouraged by the fact that you get discouraged all the time. Amen? It's contagious, too. You think the Omicron variant's contagious? Discouragement is contagious. It can spread even by casual contact. People around you can be disheartened and discouraged because you're discouraged. You can be bummed out because other people are discouraged. The good news of the gospel is that God can turn any discouraging situation around. Amen? Whatever situation that is present in your life that the enemy is telling you that you failed or something's never going to happen, rest assured that God can renew, that God can restore, and God can rebuild that situation in your life. Amen. It should have got a lot more hearty amen than that. Because it's the truth. The Word of God is here for us to learn how to handle situations that arise in our life. How to handle success, how to handle failure, and even how to handle those times when we are facing discouragement. One of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Nehemiah. I've taught many sermons about Nehemiah. I've done men's retreats focused on the book of Nehemiah over the years. It's the account of a man who heard some disturbing news, some discouraging news, if you will. But it's more about a man who had a burning sense of responsibility and he had a deep concern for people. It's the account of how he set out to do something about the thing that he was discouraged about. In chapter 1, we see Nehemiah that he was moved to do something out of compassion and concern. He heard the news about the condition of Jerusalem. And he was discouraged. He wept about it. It upset him so bad. But it says that he prayed and he fasted over a period of 4 months, seeking what God would have him to do. Amen? That's a key. Amen? You may be discouraged. You may hear some discouraging news. But one of the important things to do is to seek God. Amen. If you need to fast, whatever you need to pray, then do it. Whatever the Lord leads you to do. One of the things to remember while you're facing a discouraging situation or hear discouraging news is to seek after God and begin to make a plan. Just because you're a person of faith does not need that there doesn't need to be any organization or a plan in your life how to move forward. In chapter 2, God opened the door of opportunity. After he had been praying and fasting for 4 months, formulating a plan, God opened the door. And we're not going to look at that situation because it would just take too much time. But the king granted him things that he needed to do what he needed to do. When the king said, "What do you need?" He had favor with the king. He had the opportunity. And when the king says, "Hey, what do you need?" Nehemiah was able to tell him everything that he needed because he had been formulating a plan. Amen? And so he granted him everything he needed. He traveled to Jerusalem 800 miles. Not like today when we can jump in the car and drive 800 miles in a day. It would have taken him 2 to 3 months to get there. Over some very tough terrain. He even had a guard that the king sent with him to guard things because there was robbers and thieves on the way. So he gets there. Nehemiah chapter 2, hopefully you're there. Says, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there for 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I did not tell anyone what my God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem, and there was no animal with me except the animal in which I was riding. So I went out at night by the valley gate in the direction of the dragon's well and on to the refuse gate, inspecting the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were consumed by fire." He went out and he expected, he had heard about how bad things were, and it discouraged him, and he was upset about it, yet he formulated a plan, and when he gets there, he doesn't tell a bunch of people what he's doing. He doesn't tell a bunch of people what God had done. He went out and he began to see what the situation really looked like. Was it as bad as what he had heard? Amen? And when he did that, he seen how bad things were. So he said, "Then I passed on to the fountain gate," in verse 14, "in the king's pool, but there was no place for my mount to pass. So I went up at night by the ravine and inspected the wall. Then I entered the valley gate again and returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done, nor had I as yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the rest who did the work." Verse 17. "Then I said to them, 'You see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach.' And I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, 'Let us arise and build.' So they put their hands to the good work." We see Nehemiah recruit people and he encouraged them. Amen? These people had been living there. They'd been around this. They'd seen and what had happened. They were used to this. The wall being destroyed, the gates being burnt. And he goes on and everything starts going well. He didn't face any opposition. Oh, quite the opposite. He faced a lot of opposition. But he went on. In chapter 3, they begin the work and everything's going well. And then in chapter 4, Nehemiah comes to a tough moment in his life. God had given him a vision and a plan to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and renew the faith of the people. However, like any project that God gives us, Nehemiah faced some huge obstacles. There were people that did not want to see God's work completed. They didn't want to see Jerusalem strengthened, and they didn't want to see the walls rebuilt. As a result, they did everything in their power to stop it. They wanted Nehemiah and the people of Jerusalem to become so discouraged by all their efforts that they would give up and surrender from what God had called them to do. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. I would encourage you to read everything in the book of Nehemiah. We're just getting to some high points here. Nehemiah chapter 4. So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. The New King James says, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. If you underline or highlight things in your Bible, underline that half its height right there. Because if you drop down to verse 9, it says, we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night. Thus in Judah it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing, yet there is so much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. Isn't that the way it always seems to happen? Right when you're in the middle of what God has called you to do, discouragement sets in. When we start something new, our excitement and our enthusiasm for a project, for a relationship, for our faith, it carries us forward. But then we come to the point of no return. We reach the midpoint. Negative thoughts begin to enter in. Amen? We examine our progress. What once seemed possible now looks impossible. The results that at first encourage us now appear small and insignificant. The help we had in the beginning has started to fade, and the finish line seems more distant than when we began. Discouragement loves the midpoint. It loves the point of no return. See, the place, it's a place where you can't start over and you can't quit. Because the cost of failure is too great. The point where your accomplishments don't seem to match the energy or resources you have spent. Amen? When it comes to our faith, once you make a new commitment to God, to pray or to give or to serve, and begin to take steps to fulfill God's plan, rest assured that the enemy is going to attack you. You make a decision, well, we're going to start giving regularly. The enemy's going to attack you. He's going to try to bring some things into your life. Your car breaks down, something breaks down at your house. Well, you can't afford to give anymore. You just got to do that. The enemy's going to try to stop you. He's going to try to discourage you. Amen? In verses 10 through 12, we can see four things Satan will use to cause us to be discouraged. See, the Bible is not just a bunch of stories. It is a book that is written to show us how to overcome the attacks of the enemy. Because in verse 7 there in chapter 4,
It says, "Now it came about when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on and that the breaches began to be closed, they were very angry." In this case, these people are just types and shadows of Satan. They use the tactics that the enemy uses on people. And believe me, when you begin to break away from his clutches and from his power, when you get set free from the enemy and you are translated into the kingdom of God, amen, and he doesn't have any power over you, he's going to get ticked off. "Well, he never attacked me before. I never experienced any of this before." It's because you were on his side before. Amen? You were in the kingdom of darkness. But the Word of God says that when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, when you accepted him, you were instantaneously translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hallelujah. The enemy doesn't have any power over you anymore. He doesn't have any right over you anymore. You got a target on your back. Amen? Say, "Well, I never experienced any of that." Well, you start doing something for God, you start believing something about God, the enemy's going to try to stop you. He's going to try to discourage you. Amen? Anybody ever experienced that? Yes. Amen? Nehemiah chapter 4, 10 through 12, the New Living Translation. I read it here, but I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It says, "Then the people of Judah began to complain that their workers were becoming tired. There was so much rubble to be moved that we could never get it done by ourselves. Meanwhile, our enemies were saying, 'Before they know what's happening, we will swoop down on them and kill them and end their work.' The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, 'They will come from all directions and attack us.'" Whew, that's real encouraging. Amen? Remember, as we talked about, discouragement is universal. No one will escape it. Some of us have a harder time overcoming its effects. We all have to learn to resist it. There's a difference between being discouraged and having discouragement get a hold of you. Amen? When you are discouraged, you're still in control of your emotions. But when discouragement has control of you, it begins to control your life. So, number one, the first cause of discouragement is fatigue. Sometimes you're just going so long and so hard and so wide open that you just get tired. You get worn out. Many commentators believe that the reason the rebuilding of the wall caught so much attention, it was because of their rapid success. Nehemiah put together a workforce that was so well prepared and highly motivated that it caught the attention of everybody that was watching. Their speed and efficiency was remarkable, and news spread quickly. Their enemies became afraid that they were going to accomplish what they were going to do. The same way that the enemy becomes concerned and afraid that, hey, if they get a hold of this, there's no turning back. If they get a hold of the fact that I am Jehovah Jireh, their provider, and they begin to see victory in that area, then I've lost my foothold in their life. I've lost control over them in that area of their life. It goes with anything in your life. Forgiveness, righteousness, when you begin to understand that you are the righteousness of God, and you get a hold of that and you get it settled in your heart, you get forgiveness settled, you get healing settled,
The enemy, he knows he's lost.
That's right.
Amen? But the thing that happened was they were working so hard and so fast that they wore out. In their excitement to finish the project, they didn't recognize that their speed could become their greatest enemy. We can see as you read through here that they were physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually exhausted. They did not plan for a time of rest. That's how the enemy attacks. It's a new project, a new problem, whatever it may be. But once the newness wears off, we start to wear down. Fatigue and discouragement always seem to meet in the middle. You know, we're burning the candle at both ends. We don't have the energy to complete what we've started. We need to learn to create a margin in our life. Check our energy level. Set a time to rest. Amen? The second cause of discouragement is frustration due to a loss of focus. There in verse 10, it says, there's too much rubble. We can't do this on our own. Amen? They've been rebuilding the wall, using everything that they had, and then they get to the midpoint, and discouragement starts setting in because they start looking around. It's like, man, there's just too much garbage laying around here. We can't work under these conditions. Amen? The people lost God's vision for the wall and the piles of unfinished projects. Instead of seeing the big picture, they focused on all the mess, all the rubble that was still laying in the way. How many of you have a job where your work is never finished? If you do, you understand what that frustration's like. The feeling that you are never free, you're never out from under all the pressure, all the deadlines, you're never able to relax and leave work behind. Amen. It's always there. It's always there. You know, I worked in the plastics industry for many years. And the great thing about the plastics industry was when we would build injection molds or blow molds. When we got them done, we were done with them. And we moved on to new projects. Something new. Something exciting. Amen? And now I run a tool and die shop, manage that. Brother Mike works there. But, you know, we do the same thing all the time. Amen. Right?
Amen.
Production stuff. We run the same thing over and over and over again. I get tired of scheduling, and I'm sure they get tired of running the same thing over and over and over again. It may be a different part number, but it looks the same. And it's never finished. You think you got a great inventory, and all of a sudden they have problems in production and they wipe out your inventory, and you're just never finishes. So it can lead to frustration and you lose focus sometimes. You're never able to relax and leave work behind. Those feelings can leave you trapped. They can cause you to lose sight of God's plan. The enemy wants you to feel hopeless that you will never accomplish what you had set out to do. You can't start focusing on unfinished things. Amen? You got to keep looking forward. The third cause of discouragement is due to a loss of confidence. Once fatigue had taken its toll and frustration set in, the people ultimately lost confidence in themselves But ultimately, they lost confidence in God's plan. At the end of verse 10, what does it say? We aren't able to build the wall. When they started out, they were all excited. They got halfway through the project, and wham, all of a sudden, they start losing their focus. They get tired, and then they're like, we can't do this. We can't do this. The third stage of discouragement always begins the same way. It begins with words like, it's impossible. I can't do this. I always fail. I never succeed. I'll never amount to anything. Words that convince us there's no hope for the future. The truth is, failure is never final.
That's right.
How many of you have ever failed at something?
Everyone.
Duh. How many of you have failed at something and you kept trying it and then you succeeded?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You ever learn how to ride a bike? How many times did you crash? Amen. Or you wanted to do something? Yeah. Multiple. Failure is an opportunity to try again. I mean, you hear about stories about Thomas Edison, all these guys were great inventors. They failed thousands of more times than they succeeded, but they just kept going. Amen? Theodore Roosevelt said this, it's not the critic that will count in the end. No, not the man that points out where others have stumbled and where others could have done better. Nope. The credit belongs to one who is actually in the arena. The one who might come up short again and again because he knows that there is no effort without error or shortcomings. It is the one who knows the great devotion. He knows the triumph of achievement and who, if he falls, he falls at least while daring greatly. Far better it is to dare mightily things or to dare mighty things even though you're checkered with failure than to be with the poor souls who never enjoy much nor suffer much because they live in the gray that knows neither victory nor defeat. Praise the Lord. We don't want to live in the gray area. Amen. If you failed, join the crowd. Amen. There's people that have failed at business time and time again. They just keep going, and eventually, wham, they hit on it. The question is not, will you fail? The question we need to ask ourselves is, how well do I fail? When something is not accomplished on time, you don't live up to your own expectations, how do you respond? Do you give in to self-pity? Do you blame yourself for circumstances? Or do you blame others? Don't get angry and allow your failure to impact the lives of people around you. The truth is, failure is never final. With God, it's always an opportunity and a door to new opportunities. Amen? Fourthly, and number four thing, the loss or last cause of discouragement is fear due to a loss of security. There in verse 11 says, and our enemy said, they will not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work. And it came about when the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times. I've got 10 times underlined in my Bible. They just didn't hear it once. Amen? Whenever you build something for God, there will always be someone who wants to stop you. When the wall began to go up, Nehemiah's enemies tried to stop the work. They started with jokes.
They escalated to criticism, and when all that failed, they threatened to kill him and kill them. Verse 11 says, our enemies said. They started focusing on what the enemy was saying. Amen? The first step towards fear is listening to people who don't speak for God.
That's good.
Amen? The first step towards fear is listening to people who don't speak for God. When we stop listening to God and start listening to people operating in the flesh who don't know the first thing about God, we lose our sense of security. No one likes to be ridiculed. No one likes to be criticized. No one likes to be threatened. Yet when it happens, you need to always consider the source. If it's not from God, it's a lie.
Amen?
Amen? Don't listen to it. Don't dwell on it. The people who lived around the people who were making the threats were the ones who got scared first. That's what it says, right? When the Jews who lived near them, they came and told us. They just didn't come and tell him one time. They came back 10 times. Well, you know what? They're going to attack you, and they're going to kill you. They're going to stop you. You know what? You can't believe that stuff that they preach about God meeting your needs. You can't believe that stuff. You can't believe that stuff about being set free. You can't believe that stuff about forgiving people and walking in love. You can't do that. People will take advantage of you. The ones who were afraid were the ones surrounded by negative people. Not everyone giving you advice is worth listening to.
Amen.
Amen. There are people, I know this may be hard for you to hear. There are people in your life that would love to see you fail. It's the truth. Their goal is to keep you from experiencing God's best. The only way to overcome people like that is to cut them out from your life or distance yourself from them. Look at Nehemiah chapter 6. It doesn't just end there. Starting in verse 8, this is Nehemiah's response. He'd been threatened. They'd said all kinds of things. They'd sent to him 5 times. Here. See, you get it. Understand the pattern here? The enemy doesn't come to you one time. He's not just going to send a discouraging word across your path one time. He's going to do it multiple times. And how you react to that each and every time is how long he's going to keep coming after you. Amen? Nehemiah chapter 6, 8, verse 8 says, then I sent a message to him saying, such things as you are saying have not been done, but you are inventing them in your own mind. For all of them were trying to frighten us, thinking they will become discouraged with the work and it will not be done, but now, O God, strengthen my hands. And when I entered the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, son of Mehetabel, who was confined at home, he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you, and they are coming to kill you at night. But I said, should a man like me flee? And could one such as I go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived. You need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. People start saying things to you, speaking things over your life. There's times when the Holy Spirit's going to come up and say, nah, no, no.
Right.
Don't listen to him.
Right.
He said, then I perceived that surely God had not sent him, but he uttered his prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He was hired for this reason, that I might become frightened and act accordingly and sin, so that they might have an evil report in order that they could reproach me. Remember, O my God, Tobiah and Sanballat, because according to these works of theirs, and also Nodia the prophetess and the rest of the prophets who were trying to frighten me. It wasn't just one so-called person of God. It was multiple people. Amen? You start doing something for God, you better get hooked in and you better stay focused. Amen? Ignore those people who are, oh, brother, I've got a word for you. Well, thank you very much. Amen? Give you the word and then they walk away and you're like, get off me. That's garbage. All it's wanting to do, all they were trying to do was bring fear into that situation. Amen? Discouragement begins with fatigue, leads to frustration. Multiply, you're losing your confidence, and then comes fear. That's when you know that discouragement has a hold in your life. It's not just being discouraged. That's much more. When you get to that point, when you begin to operate in fear, you know that discouragement has control of your life. When you have an intense desire to run, when you feel the best solution is to escape, you know that discouragement has a hold on you. Amen? So, quickly, how did Nehemiah respond to this discouragement? Go back to chapter 4, verse 13. He says, then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people and families with their swords, spears, and bows. When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened when our enemy heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. And it came about from that day on that half my servants carried on the work while half of them held the spears, the shields, and the bows and the breastplates, and the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens took their load with one hand doing the work and the other holding a weapon. The first step in overcome discouragement is refocus. Amen? Reorganization. In order to stop the spread of discouragement, Nehemiah had to reorganize his workforce. In the process, he had to stop the work. As I said earlier, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is get some rest. Amen? Take a break from what is bringing you down and rest. Go to your room, close the door, go out on your porch if it's summertime, go to your room if it's wintertime, sit on the couch, whatever, take a nap. Amen? Get refreshed. Begin thanking God for all the good things He's put in your life. The tendency when we get discouraged is to give up the dream, the hope, the vision. Nehemiah didn't give up. He just tried something different, did things in a different way. Amen? He surrounded the workers with their family. They needed to work around people who loved and cared for them. The second step in overcoming discouragement is remember that God is with you. Nehemiah, in verse 14, Nehemiah reminds them, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. The best way to overcome discouragement is to focus on something bigger. Don't get caught with your eyes on the rubble. Amen? It's easy to get lost in the responsibilities and the duties of life. Your life is more than making money. Your life is more than being a good parent, a husband, or a wife. Your life is more than being a good church member. Your life is found in worshiping and enjoying your relationship with God. Get your eyes off your fears and use all your strength to focus on God once again. Corrie Ten Boom, who suffered in a Nazi death camp, explained how to overcome discouragement by focusing on God. She said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. Amen. The third step to overcoming discouragement is resist. Amen. Verse 14, Nehemiah encouraged God's people to fight. Fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Amen. Don't just give in to discouragement and just give up. We can always choose what we can't always choose what we experience, but we can definitely choose how we respond. Discouragement is a disease that can be caught, but it doesn't have to become an epidemic. You have to remember, we're at war. The New Testament talks about many places about fighting. Amen? The weapons of our warfare. Fight the good fight of faith. Satan will use everything in his power to keep you from experiencing God's best. He doesn't want you to accomplish the task that God has ordained for you. He'll try to send discouragement into your life. My advice to you is, when he comes, don't answer the door. Amen. Don't let him in. You are a child of God. You're an heir of the kingdom of God. You've been made perfect in Jesus Christ. Reject discouragement for what it is. It's a desperate attempt of the enemy to stop you.
Yes.
Amen? To steal your joy. To keep you from fulfilling what God has called you to do. You have to resist it. And then the fourth thing is return to work. Once you've made the adjustments, amen? Once you've got things in order, is go back to doing what God's called you to do. Keep pressing on. He said that in Nehemiah 15, that everybody returned to their work. Once the people rested, reorganized their lives, once they focused on the Lord, once they had strengthened their defenses, they returned to work. The goal of discouragement is to convince you that all hope is lost, that your efforts are futile, that your God is small, and you're never going to accomplish anything. Look at Nehemiah chapter 6. We'll close with this. Verse 15. After all this had happened, so the wall was completed on the 25th of the month of Elul. How long did it take them to actually build the wall completely?
52 days.
Sometimes we read it and we think it's this
extended period of time. Sometimes we think about discouragement and everything, and we can think about, well, it won't set in, all this stuff. It's going to be a long period of time. No, discouragement can happen quickly. A short-term project, 52 days is not very long. I mean, here we are, the middle of January already, 2022. I mean, it just seems like just a couple days ago, I was preaching 2020 vision sermon series. That was 2 years ago. It's like, where does time go? Amen. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. It can be a short period of time. But just rest to know that the enemy, it doesn't matter which way it is, the enemy is going to try to come and stop you. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for your word. We thank you and we praise you, Father, that we can draw encouragement from these examples that we see in the word of those who overcame discouragement and finished the things that you've called them to do, Lord. And Father, it's my prayer that everyone here, Lord, would just be encouraged today. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the discouragement may be, that they can draw strength from this message, that you'll just bring it to their remembrance. If they can't remember it, that they just go on the podcast and be encouraged again, Lord. I just thank you and praise you that we all will fulfill the call of God in our life and what you've called us to do. Lord, and if we have been discouraged, that we will be encouraged. We will encourage ourselves. We'll make the adjustments, Lord. And I just thank you for that, and I praise you for that. And Lord, just give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.